The pelvic floor is made up of muscle tissue that's connected to ligaments, that's also connected to fascia or stretchy tissue that helps to support things at the base of the pelvis, or organs at the base of the pelvis. And it's also innervated with nerves. And so when we talk about the pelvic floor and pelvic floor dysfunction, firstly we're talking about a pelvic floor that is a unit and supporting in females the bladder and the uterus and the bowel. And dysfunction in the unit can be related to dysfunction in those systems and the functioning of those systems.
What's the prevalence of pelvic floor dysfunctions in Australian females?
If you've had a baby, the prevalence is about 1 in 3. So there is some well-established literature around the prevalence in females who have had babies. And we say that around 1 in 3 women who've ever had a baby wet themselves. The prevalence increases as age increases as well. So when you look at prevalence rates, you need to look at the age group. And as women get older, urinary incontinence prevalence increases with around parity, around childbearing, and it also increases around the time of menopause.
What are the different types of pelvic floor dysfunction?
Because the pelvic floor involves in a female, involves the uterus, the bladder and the bowel, dysfunction is described according to dysfunction in the functioning of those organs. So the International Continence Society has given us direction in terms of terminology, and there are actually over 250 different definitions for female pelvic floor dysfunction.
250?
Yep. So it's a complex area.
What are some of the types of pelvic dysfunction that people would be most familiar with?
Incontinence. So urinary incontinence, which is the leaking of urine, and that can be connected with activity, jumping on a trampoline, jogging. It can also be connected with coughing, sneezing, laughing. There's also a leakage of urine that can occur if you can't get to the toilet in time, so leaking before you make it to pass urine under control in the toilet. There's also the back passage, so it's not something that we often like to talk about necessarily, but we always universally have a giggle about incontinence of flatus, which is wind, passing wind without wanting to. There's also incontinence, anal incontinence and fecal incontinence, which is losing a stool, not being able to control the stool.
What causes pelvic floor dysfunctions?
There are a lot of different causes. A lot of different causes.
Well, let's look at women, because that's where your research is focused on.
In the childbearing years, and particularly women who've had a vaginal delivery or trauma surrounding vaginal delivery, they are more likely to have some form of pelvic floor dysfunction. So it could be connected to nervous input into the muscles. It could be weakness of the muscles, trauma to the muscles. So stress incontinence is the most common form.
Having this pelvic floor dysfunction is obviously a bit embarrassing and would affect on people's work, correct?
That's right. So if you're concerned about leaking urine, there's a lot of stigma that can be associated with that. And it can be kind of stressful if you can't get to the bathroom, if you can't get to the bathroom to empty your bladder. And there has been a little bit of research around looking at the nurse's bladder, nurses holding on because they have to hold on, or reducing their fluids because they're perhaps in theatre and they can't get to the toilet and leave the operating theatre. So we know that there are perhaps workforce issues surrounding the nurses being able to have what we would call a healthy bladder habits.
And you have been looking at nurses and midwives in particular. You've just done a review. What have you found about their pelvic floor dysfunctions?
Well, one of the main findings of the review is that we don't know a lot. The majority of nurses are female. And so we know, I think it's around 90% of the nursing and midwifery workforce are female. Also, nurses and midwives are getting older. So we also know that pelvic floor dysfunction, or the prevalence of different types of dysfunction, increases with age. Another factor that influences things is obesity. So we know that if you're overweight or obese, it doubles your risk of having all different types of incontinence. And so we know that it's in the workforce, but what we don't know is whether it affects a nurse or a midwife's ability to do their work, so their work productivity. So if we define productivity as as either being absent, so having sick leave or leaving the workforce, or being at work but not being able to perform fully to do what's required in their job, then nurses and midwives may change their positions or leave certain positions, particularly if they're not able to get to the toilet or control that urine leakage if it's a urine leakage problem.
You've done this review. What's the next step in your research?
Two studies turned up. There weren't many studies that looked particularly at pelvic floor dysfunction in workforce groups, and workforce groups as in identifying which particular workforce. There are some large studies that look at the dysfunction of something called overactive bladder, and an overactive bladder is where you need to run to the toilet a lot, and or looked at incontinence itself. And we know that from those large population-based studies that having overactive bladder or having incontinence does impact, seems to impact your work productivity. However, we haven't looked at particular workforce groups like nurses and midwives, and we know, as I said before, that predominantly they're female.
So the next phase of your research is going to be looking at nurses and midwives in particular, what their lower urinary symptoms are and how that affects their productivity.
Yeah, well, I'm going to look at lower, not just incontinence, but the broader definition of lower urinary tract symptoms. Going to be asking nurses and midwives about their work habits and their bladder habits, and also looking at their productivity. So trying to match up and to see whether those symptoms of leakage or those bladder symptoms, whether they make a difference to the nurse's ability to do her work, and whether if they have symptoms, whether they predict their choices about leaving their role or in fact leaving the workforce. The research will also be hoping to provide recommendations for the workforce. So by interviewing and talking to nurses and midwives about their experience, not only identifying the problem and if there is an impact on their ability to work as nurses and midwives, but providing employers with strategies for pelvic floor, what we call pelvic floor health promotion.
If you do have a pelvic floor dysfunction, can it be fixed?
Well, that's the good news, yes. In a lot of cases, because this is a fairly intimate problem, it's not something that a lot of us talk about. And I think even as women, as nurses and midwives, it's embarrassing. It can be embarrassing to admit to anybody, really, that you leak urine. And so there's often a big cover-up. You know, you'll use your pads, you'll go to the toilet more frequently just in case so that you don't have those symptoms. So part of the importance of this research is talking about it, and talking about it so that we can develop strategies that help promote what we know is the evidence. And the evidence, particularly around urine incontinence, is that it can be helped. There's very strong evidence, and we call it a level one evidence and a grade A recommendation, to do pelvic floor muscle training to help with incontinence, and also for bladder training to help with symptoms of urge incontinence or an overactive bladder. And to those strategies should be guided by a health professional.